When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The following podcast contains audio extracted from videos on the Harry Potter Theory YouTube channel. Hey everyone, welcome to another installment of Harry Potter Theory. Today we're discussing wizarding conflicts. In the wizarding world of Britain, the threat of Lord Voldemort and his followers, the Death Eaters, casts a dark, ominous shadow over the entire magical population, a shadow that persisted for a long, long time. Voldemort's reign of terror brought unprecedented tyranny to the wizarding world. Under his leadership, the Death Eaters mercilessly targeted and persecuted those who opposed them, instilling fear throughout the wizarding community. Through his manipulation of dark magic, Voldemort was able to orchestrate a wide array of atrocities, ranging from mass murders to the infiltration and corruption of influential institutions like the Ministry of Magic. Via his insatiable thirst for power and dominance, Voldemort left a trail of destruction that, for a long time, forced Britain's wizarding population to live in constant fear and subjugation. But perhaps the most surprising outcome of Voldemort's reign of terror is the notable absence of external assistance or international intervention during this perilous period in Britain's wizarding history. As the threat of Voldemort grew, one would expect that neighboring countries, concerned about the potential ramifications on magical communities worldwide and the delicate balance between the magical and muggle worlds, would have rallied to support the subjugated wizards and witches of Britain. If Voldemort was such a menace, why didn't other heroic wizards and witches from the international wizarding community volunteer to help fight against him? During that final terrifying year of the Second Wizarding War, why didn't any other countries try to help? Where were the powerful sorcerers that studied at Mahutokoro's School of Magic in Japan, or the masters of Wandless Magic from Wagadu School of Magic in Uganda? Why did these countries leave Britain all on its own as its institutions crumbled under Voldemort's regime? And what makes these questions particularly compelling is the fact that Voldemort's reign of terror would have eventually come knocking at their door as well. He was challenging the sanctity of the International Statute of Secrecy, putting the entire magical world at risk. Furthermore, he was hell-bent on world domination. He ruled with an iron fist, and he had an ego the size of a planet. To leave Voldemort up to Harry and a bunch of his classmates is ignorant at worst and cowardly at best. Today, we're going to be taking a look at some of the reasons that international intervention never occurred, starting with a theory. Other countries looked down on Britain. In my research, I came across an interesting theory regarding why other countries in the wizarding world may have been hesitant to help Britain. You see, while it might seem strange that not a single outsider came to their aid, it becomes less surprising when we consider the tumultuous state of magical Britain itself. One key factor to consider here is the occurrence of two wizarding wars within a relatively short period. Although this is not the fault of the country itself, the fact that Voldemort was able to gather such a significant number of followers who believed in the supremacy of pureblood wizards doesn't reflect particularly well on the country itself. Furthermore, it sends the message to other countries that magical Britain is in a perpetual state of destabilization. The perception of Britain's intolerance is further reinforced by the statue Harry sees at the Ministry of Magic, a statue oddly named the Fountain of Magical Brethren. Halfway down the hall was a fountain. A group of golden statues, larger than life-size, stood in the middle of a circular pool. Tallest of them all was a noble-looking wizard with his wand pointing straight up in the air. Grouped around him were a beautiful witch, a centaur, a goblin, and a house elf. The last three were all looking adoringly up at the witch and wizard. Glittering jets of water were flying from the ends of the two wands, the point of the centaur's arrow, the tip of the goblin's hat, and each of the house elf's ears. The statue, which doesn't show any sort of brotherhood I've seen, quite clearly sends the message that other wizarding world creatures are beneath witches and wizards, depicting them as staring up at the witch and wizard adoringly, as if they are some sort of spectacle. And this statue is on display at the Ministry of Magic, the location of Britain's primary magical governmental body. If that doesn't send some sort of a message to the outside world, then I don't know what does. From an outside perspective, I believe that Wizarding Britain would exude a significant sense of xenophobia and species-based discrimination, leading other countries to disassociate themselves from such a backward society. And in case the two concurrent Wizarding Wars weren't enough to send the message that Britain was unstable, I imagine that the rampant corruption within the Ministry of Magic would send this message home even further. The incompetence of the Minister for Magic, the presence of former Death Eaters in high-ranking positions, like Lucius Malfoy, and the instances of bribes and manipulation indicate that there are deep-rooted issues at the Ministry. Furthermore, the biased handling of Harry's hearing and the control the government has over media outlets like the Daily Prophet only raises further questions about the integrity and transparency of Magical Britain's institutions. Now let's point the crosshairs at Britain's premier location for magical education, Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry. While I imagine that Hogwarts invokes a sense of pride in many, it is important to note that the school, in all of its glory, still has a number of flaws. For example, while having all children attend a single school should promote unity, the reality is that the houses within the school only further foster division and internal conflict. One of these houses, in particular, Slytherin, fundamentally advocates the idea of a superior blood race. The founder of the school and house, Salazar Slytherin, even created a deadly creature to protect his vision of excluding Muggle-born students. Why is a house that was founded on such backwards principles, and that has historically produced nearly every dark witch and wizard, even be allowed to exist? To the outside world, this would appear preposterous. The house and its associated philosophies are a veritable breeding ground for individuals of dubious morality, only further perpetuating so many of the intolerance-related issues ingrained in wizarding society itself. I don't think Ilvermorny or Beauxbatons have houses like this, so why Hogwarts? The last point that I want to focus on is Britain's singular wizarding prison, Azkaban. At one point in wizarding history, there were more prisons up and down the country, but the Ministry later made the executive decision to house all criminals in the same place, regardless of the severity of their crime. The Ministry of Magic felt the small wizarding prisons that existed up and down the country in various towns and villages posed a security risk, because attempts by incarcerated witches and wizards to break out often led to undesirable bangs, smells, and light shows. A purpose-built prison, located on some remote Hebridean island, was preferred, and plans had been drawn up when Damocles Rael became Minister for Magic. The fact that there's only one prison, which basically doubles as a torture chamber due to the presence of Dementors, reflects a lack of due process, and suggests that there are significant human rights violations taking place. Furthermore, the use of Azkaban as a prison for perpetrators of all types of crimes, regardless of the severity, seems highly inappropriate, especially when we consider the harsh conditions and psychological impact of imprisonment there. If we consider all of the significant issues with Magical Britain noted above, can you really blame the international wizarding community for simply not wanting to get involved? I suspect that the corruption, intolerance, and human rights violations displayed within the country would naturally deter foreign intervention, as other magical nations would simply prefer to avoid contact with such a troubled environment. To them, witches and wizards in Britain may have simply been the victims of their own self-fulfilling prophecy, an intolerant, ideologically stunted society that, in their eyes, was doomed to fall victim to the same patterns time and time again. At least, that's one theory. Here are a few of my other takes that I've mentioned in previous videos. They didn't know. This isn't the best excuse, but it certainly would make sense. Throughout the Second Wizarding War and the years that preceded it, Lord Voldemort and his loyal Death Eaters tried their best to fight in the shadows. Having learned their lesson from their first failed campaign against the Ministry of Magic in the 1970s and 80s, Voldemort and his allies knew that their best chance at success was by placing double agents within the Ministry itself. And if Ministry staff didn't want to work for Voldemort out of their own volition, then the Dark Wizard was more than happy to cast the Imperius Curse on them and control their every move through dark magic. If you think about Voldemort's takeover of the Ministry of Magic in the final years of the war, this easily explains why other countries were unaware. But if we turn our attention to those governments' domestic issues, we can find even more reasons. As you might have imagined, almost every government had its own Muggle government, and then a separate corresponding magical government. With places like the UK and the US, these dual governments are pretty easy to see, since we've encountered them in film and books. There are over 190 Muggle countries in the world, but actually, in the wizarding community, some of the magical governments don't keep the same borders as their Muggle counterparts. In regards to their magical government, some countries actually have entirely different borders, which makes sense. After centuries of warfare, European countries gained and lost territory fairly often, which was something their local wizarding communities often chose to ignore. The changing borders of their Muggle nation-states were only an annoyance for the wizards, who were content to keep their traditional holdings, which means there might have been even more magical ministries than Muggle congresses. Now, you might be wondering, what does that have to do with Voldemort? Well, as you can see, there were over 100 other wizarding governments, and they had their own domestic issues to deal with. There were likely many other pressing matters within each and every country that made up the International Confederation of Wizards. And maybe, just like Voldemort's campaign against the British Ministry of Magic, many other countries might have been facing their own civil wars. Even if they had heard the whispers of Voldemort's return, they simply didn't have the power to investigate it further. Voldemort wasn't an international threat. Even though Lord Voldemort was a terrible threat to the British Ministry of Magic, he might not have been a worthy opponent for other countries. Even during the First Wizarding War, when Voldemort led his campaigns against British wizards and witches, the International Confederation of Wizards didn't form any meaningful position against him. As the Wizarding World's version of the United Nations, the International Confederation of Wizards' largest contribution to the Wizarding World was to keep their people safe. For most of recorded history, that meant creating and agreeing to laws that kept their true powers hidden from the Muggle populace. But just like the United Nations, the International Confederation of Wizards also was responsible for resolving disputes between its member states. So, if Voldemort were to assume power in Britain and then turn his attention towards other countries to conquer, it would fall to the International Confederation of Wizards to stop him. But, according to the few records we have, the international organization never even convened a committee in order to discuss a concerted defense strategy in case Voldemort crossed the English Channel. It was a domestic affair. If you close your eyes, spin a globe, and randomly point your finger at a country, you'd have a 9% chance of landing on one that is currently fighting in a civil war. And even though we don't have a complete list of historical records from the international wizarding world, it's not hard to imagine that civil wars and internal strife were all too common amongst wizards and witches as well. When it comes to Muggles, many countries often took a non-interventionist approach. Even though civil wars and strife led to inconceivable suffering and bloodshed, most civil wars were allowed to proceed without interference from neighboring states. And the reason was simple. Trying to help only made matters worse. Worse for the neighboring states, and often worse for the country that was plunged into the civil war. And that non-interventionist philosophy was even stronger amongst wizarding governments. The Magical Congress of the United States was one of the most isolationist regimes in the entire world, but its values were shared amongst most others. They simply wanted to protect their own people from Muggle persecution, and didn't want to risk their safety by openly supporting or challenging warring parties halfway around the world. Hope it didn't spread. Appeasement. If international wizarding communities didn't intervene in Britain because they thought it wasn't any of their business, then they must have hoped for one thing, that Voldemort's greed didn't extend to their country. If they were able to appease Voldemort and his Death Eaters, then the international wizarding community might be able to avoid open war, which was always what they feared the most. War between wizards was catastrophic. It was not only tragic for the amount of lives lost in the conflicts, but it also presented a unique challenge. The open conflict threatened to reveal the wizarding world to Muggles. Perhaps foreign governments like the Ministère des Affaires Magiques de la France and the Magical Congress of the United States of America knew of Voldemort's return and had agreed to not intervene if the Dark Lord kept his sights on only Britain. Without any proof, it's hard to guess at how likely this policy of appeasement was. Even if there were no formal conferences between Death Eaters and foreign delegations, they must have had some sort of contact with each other. Although wizarding governments didn't like to intervene in the affairs of others, they still needed to keep a close eye on international events, and Voldemort's second rise was certainly something to watch. They supported Voldemort. There's one potential reason that we've yet to mention, and it might be the most controversial. Other countries might have actually supported Voldemort's position. When we look back at the history of the wizarding community in Britain, will find a strange tradition. Although many of their constituents prided themselves on being purebloods, the leaders of the Wizarding World actually didn't care that much about heritage. During the founding of Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry, all four founders initially agreed to let half-bloods and muggle-borns enroll in their school. In fact, when Salazar Slytherin later changed his mind and wanted to ban all but purebloods from attending, the other three founders refused to consent. As you can see from some of its earliest history, the British Wizarding World was fairly progressive, at least compared to surrounding nations. Since we know so much about the history of wizards and witches in England, calling the British magical community progressive might sound strange, especially considering their treatment of goblins. But when we extend our look to the more ethnically homogenous countries in Central Europe, the Middle East, and Asia, their policies were far more conservative, and Voldemort's position might not have actually been so unconventional. If we just look at the Muggle government of Japan, we can find numerous examples of the hardships that non-ethnic Japanese citizens face. And interestingly, treating citizens of varying ethnicities with equal rights isn't a great priority, or even legally protected. If we apply that same sense of ethno-national pride to the wizarding community, then the students and graduates of Mahutokoro, the Wizarding School of Japan, might not actually see the big fuss about Voldemort. To them, and to many other countries around the world, pureblood supremacy might have been normal. And that's it for this video. What do you think? What is the real reason that other countries were so hesitant to step in and help Britain's wizarding community? Let me know down in the comment section below. Until next time, remember, it does not do to dwell on dreams and forget to live.